Yeah, sorry, I don't know.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this podcast. My name is Jared Day. Thank you for stumbling by to hear me ramble about a situation that would only ever happen in our imaginations. Now, what I'm going to be addressing and discussing with all of you is a topic that's very sensitive to me. Food. And I say that's sensitive because I'm a lover of food. I may not have grown any taller since ninth grade, but despite my lack of growth in the past 3 years, I'm still asking people for all their extra food, buying extra food at my school, and getting portion sizes larger than most people would deem reasonable. If it isn't already obvious, you can tell that I am a teenage boy. My love and constant desire for food comes from my naturally high metabolism. Growing up, I was very athletic, playing sports such as soccer when I was young, basketball when I grew older, and eventually transitioning into cross country when I went into high school. Through all of this, I've managed to stay just below 145 pounds as someone who's 6 feet tall. My weight should be 15 to 20 pounds heavier than that, but you know what? That's just something that man made up. And we're imperfect beings. So, you know what? I have no shame in being slightly lighter than I should. Although my weight would be likely to be regulated to a standard level if one particular life-changing event occurred this very moment. And that is what my topic is to discuss with you. So, there's this book called Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, written by Judy Barrett in 1978. This is a storybook for kids about the town of Chew and Swallow, a town where they never need to make food because all food rains down from the sky. Everyone's required food intake is met by all this food raining down from the sky. Yeah, pretty nifty, right? It doesn't talk about the daily cleanup of food, food expiration, or the fates of people who might be allergic to peanuts and just so happen to eat fries that were fried in the clouds version of peanut oil, but that isn't the point. What we're here to discuss today is what I would personally do if I were to spontaneously spend 1 week down in this amazing fictional city. Prepare yourselves and go and eat something before listening to the rest of this, because I can almost guarantee it is going to make you hungry. So, I spontaneously end up in the city. The first thing that I know for sure when going into this is that I have no idea about anything about the food situation being dropped out of the sky. My first objective would be to ask as many questions as humanly possible pertaining to the food rain during the first couple hours. And you know what? I don't care if the residents of this area think I'm weird because of it. I mean, they shouldn't, but just in case they do, that won't be any kind of hindrance on my part. I need to know exactly what I'm getting into, and I will do whatever it takes to do that. Like, questions, for example, would be like, what's the frequency of the food dropping out of the sky? How can I expect what's coming next? Is there a pattern to what the food drops? With these kinds of questions in mind, along with a few others, I'm able to further develop my plan for spending my week in this absolute utopia. So, after getting enough context to understand what I'm getting into, my next objective would be to, instead of buying a house, buy a van that I can live in. This is the pinnacle of mobile homes at the best price and best look possible. The reason why I would do this is so I'm not settling in one place during my week. That's boring. Every night I'll be able to sleep wherever I want to in the town. Assuming the food patterns are random and not subject to raining in one place and one time, like in a consistent pattern, I'm able to go wherever I want to and get whatever kind of food I want. It's variety. I'm upping the variety of this natural buffet being poured out to us by the heavens. Like, what's the harm in that? Now, to sidetrack, the book doesn't go into much detail of the location of Chew and Swallow, other than it's on an island away from everything else in society. So, perhaps after getting my van, and let's just say the town has more than just the city areas, suburban area, and downtown area, and maybe that one local gas stop, like in the middle of nowhere, I could venture into the lesser known areas. Maybe there's like forests or a jungle that like still has a road, but like no one just wants to go down there because it's spooky or something. And like, who knows what I can discover there? Like, maybe there's a Twinkie that fell down in a cave a long time ago and somehow he got infused with some ancient power that's manifested to everyone who eats it. Like, I eat that. I don't care if it's ancient or not. Twinkies have nothing that in them that would expire. Are you kidding me? But anyway, the next thing that I would do would be to familiarize myself with the townsfolk. Why? Well, they've been living at this location for years upon years, certainly longer than I have. Assuming their brain chemistry is the same as ours, meaning they're just as capable of coming up as with ideas and innovations as we are, I would get to know a lot of people. Now, let's just say they are as smart as we are. As I'm getting to know them, one thing I'll be keeping in mind and also asking them is what they do with their food. Think about it. They have such an abundance of food given to them at all times. This means that they have so much more of an opportunity to come up with better ideas with their food, to make it potentially more beneficial, taste better, and have more overall positive impacts around all of us. Not only that, I'd like to see how they interact with their food. Like, surely there's going to be someone who makes interesting variations of the food that's provided for them. Like, you just expect everyone to eat what falls out of the sky? Come on, we're all about innovations, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, with this newfound knowledge of how people utilize their food, what their food patterns are, and what I can expect food to be following, my next objective would be to come up with an innovation. Something so extraordinary that it'll give me a name for myself and put me on the map. My innovative idea would be to go out of my way, given that I still have a few days or so in the city, to make the best preservation of food possible. I would tell everyone about this, and my idea would become so potentially wonderful that everyone would praise what I've done. I mean, if whether or not that happens, that isn't like the only thing that I'm going out for, but if it happens, then that's pretty cool. Now, towards the back half of the story, the food patterns start to get suddenly violently large. It isn't a too much of a problem at first, but very soon the food sizes get so large that it becomes a danger to the public. We all come to the conclusion that this kind of lifestyle isn't what we can live with anymore. We're risking our lives to not do the ordinary thing by just going to the grocery store or growing our own food like the early civilizations did. Now that I think of it, if this food portion size increase never happened, I would have totally told developing countries with major food problems about this town, so Chew and Swallow could be massively expanded and utilized. Just saying. However, that isn't going to happen because the food portion size dilemma actually does happen in this scenario. Anyway, so even though there's this hazard with food sizes, I still have this innovation in my brain about food preservation. This will be something that I'll be able to use once everyone gets out of this town. These events transpire around my last day, give or take, so technically I could just stay and choose and swallow and just hope for the best, enjoying my life to the fullest in isolation and food to encompass me. But in all reality, I wouldn't want to survive another day when a giant pancake could fall out of the sky and smash me. Like, that just would be the worst thing to have to explain to everyone in their next life. Anyway, what happens in the book, and also in the movie adaptation, by the way, is what still happens in this scenario, too. The citizens end up using the food falling out of the sky to build boats and rafts that they could use to sail back to actual civilization. I would just do the same. I'd follow along with them like an ordinary person. We wouldn't have any issues with having to fish or for food or anything like that because our boats, our rafts, are made out of food. So I'd just pick a bow with food that I found appealing, and I'd advise everyone to do the same, and boom, we all live happily. So when everyone finally lands, I'll use this innovation that I've made up while on the island to find a way to feed everyone. We have food, so why not preserve it? While all the residents of Chew and Swallow are learning how to go grocery shopping, plant food, prepare their own food, cook their own food, and such, they'll still have all this food to just eat without all this hassle. Like, they won't be suffering nearly as much because I had that prior knowledge of utilizing refrigerators. In the end, my week is over and I'm back to where I was before. The only thing I'd be able to have to take away from this experience is what I learned on the way, and the experiences and memories that I gained and will never forget. Oh, and also the 20 pounds I most likely gained from being there for an entire week. So there you go. That's my week in brief for you guys. What do you think? What I ask for you is what you would do if you were given the same opportunity to go and chew and swallow for an entire week. I'd love to hear your stories. Thank you for listening to mine, and I will see all of you later. Peace.